Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have bad and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And today, the Three Martini Lunch is sponsored by Casper. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/lunch and using promo code LUNCH at checkout. And Jim, obviously we begin with election results from Tuesday night. There were major races in Virginia and New Jersey, and of course the mayoral race in New York City. We'll get to all of it, as well as a curious legislative pursuit up on Capitol Hill. Jim, we know that the first off-year election usually doesn't go the way of the party in the White House. We were expecting, perhaps, or at least ready for a Ralph Northam win in Virginia. What we did not expect was the margin, a 9-point win for Northam over Ed Gillespie, and then a virtual bloodbath for Republicans in the House of Delegates, which they absolutely controlled by nearly a 2-to-1 margin. And right now, there's still some recounts going on to determine whether or not they'll even get to a 50-50 split there. It's very likely that the Democrats will have the majority. When you look at Northern Virginia in particular, the Republican is becoming an endangered species. And it's not just in the liberal strongholds of Alexandria and Arlington. It's now getting further and further out in the suburbs. As you pointed out, if you look at raw vote totals, Gillespie wasn't that bad compared to previous Republican candidates. The Democrats just got their people out. The demographics are changing, and all of it, plus resistance to President Trump, I think, spells a horrible, horrible night for Republicans.
It is. And, you know, you don't necessarily say, oh, it's time to panic. But if you're a Republican, you should be deeply concerned about the midterm elections after this. There's going to be a lot of talk about, this was Gillespie. He was too establishment to fire up the Republicans. Look, that he was getting the same percentage of the vote in a lot of the places that Trump won, a lot of the counties and communities that Trump won big in 2016. He just didn't have the turnout that was anywhere near a presidential year. And you really wouldn't expect presidential level turnout in a gubernatorial year. His slightly smaller margin amongst independents than Trump had, but it was comparable. You look at the exit polls, the evangelicals voted in the same proportion for him. Gun owners actually voted a few more points in favor of Gillespie than they did for Trump. But I was looking back at this because this was a genuinely surprising result. You know, listeners of this podcast and readers of the Morning Jolt and my contributions to the Corner will note I never really came out and said, I think Gillespie's going to win. I wanted him to win. I would maybe be very happy to say, yeah, I think Gillespie's going to pull this off. But he always trailed in almost all of the polls. With occasional ties and, you know, Gillespie up by one or two here and there. I think we're going to look at this and realize, as you know, more and more of the total data comes in and we crunch the numbers, the clearest lesson from this is that the Republicans just got demolished in the suburbs. And you say this and a lot of folks respond, it's Northern Virginia. It's around D.C. They're all a bunch of government workers and immigrants. And, you know, well, of course, they're going to lose that. Well, it's not just Alexandria and Arlington, which have always been heavily Democrat. You know, people should remember Bob McDonnell actually won Fairfax County back in 2009. Ken Cuccinelli came close to winning it that year. This was a place that, you know, the right kind of Republican could do well, and it looked like Gillespie was going to do so. Not only did he get blown out in Fairfax County, Republicans were starting to get used to that. Prince William County, Loudoun County, you're really starting to get into the outer suburbs of D.C. I don't think these people suddenly turned liberal overnight. You're starting to see some Republicans in Virginia say, look, this was a verdict on the Trump presidency. So far, you have not seen the large passage of legislation that usually occurs in a president's first year. I think it's safe to say that even though Trump did not campaign for Gillespie and he tweeted about it a few times, that by and large, you know, Trump tried to stay out of this race. But when Trump is his name is above the headline every single day, above the fold in the headlines every single day, he is in the race, right? He is part of the political environment. The exit polling was consistent with all of the polling before the election, showing that Trump's approval rating in the state is about 40%. That's actually a little bit higher than it is nationally. Now, when you have Democrats fired up and determined to send a message about Trump, and Republicans feeling kind of eh, and independents having a slight preference for the Republican but not voting in that significant numbers, you're going to see Republicans get walloped. And right now, we are on pins and needles waiting to see who controls the Virginia State Assembly. Republicans went into the election yesterday with a 17-point margin. I believe that this, as of this hour, they've lost 13, and there are six that are in recounts, or the six that are too close to call. This is about as bad as it gets. And the fact that it was such a top-to-bottom demolishing of the party, to me, indicates that this, you can't just say, Gillespie was bad or something like that. This is the Republican brand in Virginia is dirt right now. And this means that, you know, Republicans have to stop whistling past the graveyard. They got to stop telling themselves that they're doing okay, that they're doing fine. The country is not happy. The Virginia was not happy. You kind of have to find yourself wondering how much did the events in Charlottesville shape Virginians' perception of how things were going. It certainly brought out Democrats with fire in their eyes, probably the most fired up they have been since 2008. And in that environment, Republicans just aren't going to win. And that's kind of a segue maybe to our second bad martini, which is like, Virginia was bad. Look, you got to look far and wide to find any good news for any Republicans last night.
No, that's true. Just as an exit note to Virginia, it's not like the voters went to Democrats in the Heath Shuler mold, people who maybe disagree with you on some economic issues, but generally hold your values on abortion and guns. I mean, you had a avowed socialist elected in a pickup seat. You had a transgender get a pickup seat. And in my district, a rock solid conservative lost to a woman who was once head of the regional office of the National Organization for Women. So it's not like they're getting these red state Democrats out there. They picked very liberal nominees and the voters still went with them.
Yeah, which means you could see, you know, Governor Ralph Northam, you can see the enthusiasm, which I use that phrase, Greg, that he could do a heck of a lot more than Terry McAuliffe did. Terry McAuliffe was not, you know, my idea of a good governor, but having a Republican state assembly and a very narrow margin for Republicans in the state Senate, there really wasn't that much he could pass and drastically alter the laws of the state of Virginia. Northam's going to be different. The state Senate is up in 2 years from now. And right now, the one-seat margin, somebody pointed out, it just takes one Jim Jeffords type who suddenly decides, hey, you know what, I'm going to switch parties because they're going to give me, you know, make me chairman or something like that. And all of a sudden, you have Democratic control of the entire state government. This is a really bad turn of events. And, you know, Republicans are going to have to ask themselves, is Trumpism worth it if it wins you those states in the upper Midwest, but it obliterates you in the suburbs? Because even if, you know, Republicans are getting demolished in the suburbs, there are going to be a lot of bad, you know, bad House races in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan. All those states that Trump managed to win very narrowly on election night 2016 are going to look really bad on election night 2018 unless something dramatic changes.
And of course, it's kind of a mirror image of what happened in 2009 in Virginia when there was a major backlash to the first several months of the Obama administration. That's how we got Bob McDonnell and Ken Cuccinelli and big pickups in the state legislature. But as you said, Jim, and as we shift to the second bad martini, it wasn't just in Virginia. Virginia was just the biggest surprise because in New Jersey, after two terms of Chris Christie, whose popularity in the state is south of 20, so Trump's popularity looks pretty good compared to that. His lieutenant governor, Kim Guadagno, was never really all that competitive in this race. Phil Murphy, the U.S. ambassador to Germany, defeats Kim Guadagno 55-42. The legislature already was strongly Democratic there. And then across the river in New York City, another basically Marxist politician, Bill de Blasio, easily wins re-election against the Greek Republican nominee, Nicole Malliotakis. She carried Staten Island very heavily, but however, that's not a majority of the population. In New York City, he easily won all the other four boroughs, most of them by majorities where he had over 70% of the vote, had almost 80% in the Bronx. He, I think, got close to 70% of the vote total. And so there was just not much competitive fire for Republicans in New Jersey or New York, which are deep blue states, Jim. But, you know, 8 years ago, things looked a lot different in New Jersey as well. And it wasn't that long ago that a Republican could get elected mayor of New York City.
Yeah, this is kind of a you know, in one area, it's a failure of Chris Christie to really set up much of a bench or to change much of the political culture in his state, I think it's safe to say that the optimism that greeted him, and look, remember, he won re-election by a wide margin.
Right.
Unfortunately, he really wanted to run for president, and I don't think it's too harsh to say that he put the majority of his efforts and attention and energy into that particular course of action, that he did not spend a lot of time cultivating either a more conservative political culture of changing the culture of Trenton. I think he definitely tried in that first term. But then that second term, things went south pretty darn fast. Obviously, Bridgegate was a big factor in that. I think the presidential campaign flopping was a part of that. We can debate whether his endorsement of Trump and his continued association with Trump helps him in the Garden State. But I think it's just we're going to look at Chris Christie as sort of a blip, an interruption to a long stretch of Democratic control of New Jersey. Somebody said, ah, Christie has destroyed the Republican brand in New Jersey for a generation. And I pointed out it had been like a decade since a Republican had won a statewide race before he was elected. So, you know, what is going on with New Jersey Republicans that they can't even make most of these races competitive? Much less that. And that's my other observation about de Blasio in New York. Look, there's no shame in a Democrat getting reelected mayor of New York, although interestingly, it hasn't happened since Ed Koch did it back in the mid-80s. But what's really interesting is that if you talk to the typical New Yorker, they can find a lot of things to complain about. And not just because they're complainers, but they can complain about city government. Homeless is up quite dramatically. Children homeless is quite dramatically. The subways and infrastructure is falling apart. And as I enjoy pointing out, Greg, Mayor Bill de Blasio murdered a groundhog. 5 points, the polls, right? I mean, and not only that, you really couldn't find, no offense to the candidates who ran, a top tier challenger to Bill de Blasio, who was never particularly popular. The cops hate him. Governor Cuomo hates him. There's a lot of weaknesses in Bill de Blasio. And the fact that the Republican Party could exploit none of them, in what is, let me remind you, Donald Trump's hometown, is another bad sign that the Republican Party has certain parts of the country they just don't know how to compete in. And I don't, as much as I enjoy Bo Dietl on the radio, cable appearances and things like that, I don't think he was what the city was clamoring for. I kind of feel like there's been this hollowing out of the Republican Party in some places that they were fairly competitive not too long ago.
Jim, even though last night was an early night for election results, it was also a brutal night, and I don't know how many conservatives slept well, but the good news is you can sleep well thanks to Casper mattresses, because Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Casper mattresses provide all the support the human body needs in all the right places. After all, you do spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you might as well be comfortable. Casper brand mattresses combine multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with just the right amounts of sink and bounce. The breathable design helps you to sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. There are three mattress models available: the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential.
Now, remember, Casper is not just a mattress company. They offer a wide array of products to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Casper can offer such affordable prices because they cut out the middleman and they sell directly to you, the consumer. Now, with more than 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars across both the Casper website, Amazon.com, and Google, Casper is quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. Casper is designed, developed, and assembled in the United States. They offer no hassle returns if you're not completely satisfied. Your Casper will be delivered right to your door in a small, how do they do that, sized box. And they offer free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada.
And you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on a trial. You can definitely figure out if it's right for you by then. And has already been explained, if you don't like it, you get your money back as well, and they'll pick it up. And right now, we got a great offer to listeners of the 3-Martini Lunch. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/lunch. And using promo code LUNCH at checkout. That's casper.com/lunch and use promo code LUNCH for $50 off any mattress. Terms and conditions do apply. And Jim, of course, everyone is now extrapolating what the 2017 elections mean for the 2018 midterm elections. But for our crazy martini, we're going to focus on someone who has already told us he's not running in 2018. That is Arizona Republican Senator Jeff Flake. He is back in the news, not castigating Trump this time. We're talking about not running for reelection. It's in response to what we've been talking about the last couple of days, and that's the horrific atrocity at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. A lot of folks, of course, wondering what could have been done differently. And as we discussed yesterday, well, the Air Force, after this shooter had been convicted of domestic violence against his girlfriend and her son, in fact, the toddler's skull was fractured, and he spent a year in the clink. And we talked about yesterday how that was probably too light of a sentence. The Air Force never passed the relevant information on that would have been put in the database that would have stopped this guy from getting a gun. There is a law on the books, not only as it relates to the military, but also as it relates to people convicted of domestic violence not being able to get a gun. Nonetheless, Jeff Flake, Republican of Arizona, and Martin Heinrich, Democrat of New Mexico. You might remember in the first Die Hard movie, he was the one with the detonators, Heinrich. And they've decided to write a bill together to prevent anyone convicted of domestic violence, be it criminal or military court, from buying a gun. And so the backlash here, of course, is, well, that's a great idea. It's so great, in fact, that it's already the law. And Jeff Flake is saying there's a loophole there because it doesn't necessarily apply as well as it should to common law relationships, people who aren't actually married. So, Jim, what do you make of Jeff Flake and Martin Heinrich and this legislative effort?
You know, Greg, I've been deeply, deeply disturbed by the rate of murder in this country. So I have come up with a legislative proposal that I believe will finally address this pressing issue. I am calling for murder to be illegal. Look, this is long overdue. It is shameful that the nation, the states, local governments have not taken action to ban murder. But now, with my legislation, hopefully we can build a better world. That's kind of what's going on here. Now, look, there is a legitimate, serious scandal here in the Department of Defense, the military Pentagon, not conveying information about offenses, including violent offenses like domestic violence, to the backgrounds check system. And that people like the church shooter in Texas are able to obtain a firearm. This is a really huge issue. This is the sort of thing that congressional oversight is made for, right? You're supposed to haul people in, berate them, figure out who's responsible. And I know this is theoretical because it's a federal government problem, but ideally you'd fire people over this, right? Ideally you'd hold people accountable. You will figure out which people are not passing on this sort of information, which is designed to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people, figure out who failed, fire them, replace them with better people, and get the problem solved. That may or may not happen. The idea of going through this silly process of introducing a legislation is, you know, look, we just saw Jeff Flake announce his retirement to go out with his make this giant denunciation of Trump. You notice there are a decent number of people who were pretty, you know, vocal critics of Trump who were underwhelmed with that announcement. An observation that, you know, the fate of the future of our country is at stake. And I'm about to retire. See you, everybody. There was that reaction. There was the fact that I don't remember him, you know, going out there and stumping for Ted Cruz when Ted Cruz needed it or anybody else during the hard-fought Republican primary back in 2016. Lots of people from that primary. You know, we have the scars to prove it. There was a hard fight. And I don't remember Jeff Flake being there. But now that it's too late, he wants to lead the opposition. And I think doing things like this that are clearly window dressing legislation, something that is, you know, attempting to, you know, require something that is already required, really comes across as shallow and image obsessed and simply not serious for this. Just trying to grab headlines and look good and something like that. So it's a shame because Jeff Flake used to be one of our favorite guys and was a you know, tough fighter on pork and all kinds of stuff like that. It certainly feels like he's hearing the siren song of media praise and just wants more and more of that.
I think he's going to be a cable news contributor, perhaps, after this term expires.
MSNBC must be licking their chops. Just the kind of guy they want. You know, are Republicans just so much worse than they used to be? Why are they so unreasonable compared to you? Well, let me tell you.
Jim, whether it's on a Casper or your couch, rest up, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget to visit our good friends over at Casper. Right now, get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/lunch and using promo code LUNCH at checkout. And join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.